Sunday was really a wild time also. So it's like there's a shifting in our services and our praise and worship. And this morning, it was fabulous, wasn't it, Kevin? Yes. And we had a real move during praise and worship. We had people get prayed for to lift off of oppression and yes. discouragement.
Yes.
And then Pastor Jim got an awesome impartation and has been promoted to a new level in the spirit realm.
Wow.
So he might tell you about it at some point, but it was something that was, you all can sit, something that was stirring in me for several weeks. And I wasn't sure if I was going to have time this morning. And Kevin kept looking at his watch like, we gotta go. And I'm like, I got an assignment. And so I looked at Pastor Jim because we had praise and worship, and then he prayed for people, and then he went ahead and did communion under that atmosphere of worship we were under. And then he had people go around and greet each other because it was really about unity in the body, because
yes.
there'd been an attack on our body. And
ooh, yeah.
I looked at him and I said, what's next? And he said, I don't know. I said, I do. And he handed me the mic. So Monica came up with me, and he got an awesome promotion from the Lord, a new increase in his
glory.
In his authority in the spirit realm. And he's been crying out for that for some time. And the Lord said that when he speaks, his words will sound like a whip cracking, splitting heaven and the demonic.
Yeah.
And so because of the purity of his heart and of his words and who he is as a person, he's been promoted.
Yeah.
So we're going to see.
All of us have been promoted.
And the Lord said that there's things he's been believing for a long time that he hasn't seen come to pass. And there's things he prays with us and agrees with us. You know, he's a pastor's heart. He's got a father's heart. And so, you know, it's hard when we look at our kids and we pray for them and the things don't happen like we want them to happen.
Yeah.
It's just like that with
yes.
him. And when he looks at us and he sees all of us, and you can only imagine how many people every day reach out to him with different things in their life. And he prays for all those things. But the Lord said all those things are going to begin to come to pass. When he speaks, he's going to see answers. And that God's going to bring him before royalty and kings and to take his place as a king.
Yes.
Amen.
So it's pretty exciting. So I gave him that word. Monica was with me. She gave me part of it. I patted him on the shoulder and said, have fun preaching. Because he was like, I gotta go. So it kind of looked like I ran up, gave him a word, and bolted. Like if I was in trouble, I was getting out of there before anybody could say anything to me. Because I grabbed my stuff and left. And everybody's like, what? She's afraid she's getting out. Where's she going? She'll get chewed out or something because she left so fast. But it was pretty powerful. It really was. So I'm glad to be here. I've missed everybody. Pastor Jack fixed it, so I couldn't come to any of your meetings. He even told us, he took us out to dinner, and he said, I know it looks like I fixed it, so you can't come to any of our meetings. Really didn't do that, but Sunday morning and Wednesday night, we have church, you know, so so we haven't been able to come up, but I have missed you guys. I really have. It was fun to be here for a year and to come on Sunday nights and to sit under Pastor's incredible teaching with his 11 anointing that's on him.
Yes.
It's just awesome to sit under Pastor Jack. Hey, so much love flows out of him.
Yes.
Just to sit there and take that in. And he's really been an encourager to my soul this last year. And just, you know, lift me up every time I hear him. So I really need to start listening to the get online, I guess, and start listening. I can still participate.
Yeah, YouTube.
YouTube. Got it. So he told me that when I did preach up here, he wanted me to preach on soul ties. And I know Patty's heard it multiple times, so she could probably get up here and preach part of it with me. So Kevin asked me what I was preaching. I said, Pastor Jack's already told me, preaching on soul ties. And I preached it at the women's conference. Pastor Sherry had. I preached it at the homecoming. And he's actually kind of given me a little bit more. I've been studying it a lot. Reading books on it, just really trying to get a good, clear understanding of what soul ties are. So that's what we're going to preach on today. We're going to preach on soul ties.
Amen.
I am. We might. I said we. You might get up and preach with me. Sorry, my throat gets a little dry. So I broke my glasses a while back, and I'm too stubborn to go get an eye exam. So I've been using these readers. So I get to pull them off and on a lot. So pardon that. It may not be the cutest. But anyway, so what are soul ties? First off, I do want to give a quick testimony. You know that song said, I'm a living, breathing testimony?
Yep.
Well, you know, a year ago, Kevin had that stroke.
Yes.
And so I'm going to the hospital. He was completely no feeling on the right side of his body. He bounced right back from that. But we did get a report that wasn't a good report, that his carotid artery on which side, the left side, was 100% occluded or blocked, and then his right one was 70%. Well, he's been speaking to that, and he had ultrasound done
Friday,
and it says, actually, in the test results, no longer, not occluded as suggested in 2024.
Oh.
So it looks like he's got 70%, only 70% now of 30% blood flow. And this one has gone down to like 50%.
Hallelujah.
And so, I don't know if you
it's
know.
It's on its way down.
That's right. You know that just doesn't happen. They don't have medicine they can give you for that. They don't have anything that dissolves that. That just doesn't happen.
It's a surgical procedure.
That's right. So God is cleaning those out. He is. And he keeps speaking to him, and he does it quietly, so I didn't know he was doing it. And so when I pulled up the test results, I'll be honest, I was a little nervous to see him. And I was like, Kevin, did you know? And he's like, yeah, I've been talking to him. Of course I know. Well, I was surprised. So apparently I wasn't believing with him. I was like, well, look at that. So God is good. God is good. Okay.
Yes.
So what are soul ties? And some of you guys have probably ever heard teaching on this. I don't know, but we'll just get into it and we'll just see where the Spirit goes. Father, we just ask you to lead us, to lead me today, wherever you want to go. Your words, my voice, in Jesus' name. So soul ties are spiritual connections that form between people. These connections can be powerful and long-lasting, influencing our thoughts, our emotions, and even our spiritual well-being. The term soul tie is not actually used in the scripture, but the concept is all through the Bible. So you can have a couple different kinds of soul ties. You know, you should have a good soul tie with your husband or your wife. You should have good soul ties with your children, with your pastor, with your best friend. So you can have really good soul ties. And I don't know if you know, I'm sure you do, that if you are around someone long enough, you'll be a friend, you'll begin to kind of change.
Mm-hmm.
They'll kind of change with you, and you all become similar.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Schreiner and I have been best friends for, I don't know, 35 years, 30, long time. And things that she never did gardening, I did, so now she's a gardener.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things I would be like, outside, or like I'd run out of a door, like at Kroger one time, I'll never forget it, and there was a lady coming in, and I just was like, on my way, you know, and heard the Lord say, Elizabeth would be kind. So I walked back and held the door open for the person, helped them get to their car, and I'm like, coming like Elizabeth, because she's so kind, you guys, you all know her, she's the kindest person. And so that's helped, and Kevin's grateful that there's a little more, tiny bit more kindness in me now because of my soul tie with Elizabeth. And she's it's a good soul tie, and it's been good for us. And it's not just been good for our friendships, it's been good for us physically, but it's been good for spiritually because we have fed off each other and we have grown and we support each other and things like that.
Yes.
So you can have good soul ties.
Yes.
And you can also have ungodly soul ties.
Yes.
So let's use some examples of some good soul ties. Godly soul ties are spiritual connections that align with God's design and purpose. So you want to remember that part. Godly soul ties are spiritual connections that align with God's design and purpose. So some of these soul ties in the Bible, Jacob and Benjamin, in the book of Genesis, we see a strong family connection between Jacob and his son Benjamin. You know that he loved his son Benjamin, the baby. It says in Genesis 44, 30 through 31, it says that he had a deep, unbreakable bond with his son Benjamin because he was the youngest. And Joseph was gone. Joseph had been taken in the pit, and so he only had Benjamin left. And so when there was the famine and Joseph was in... Hey, Rustin. When Joseph was in Pharaoh's house, and you know, and Jacob sent his kids to go get some grain and stuff, and he wanted him to bring Benjamin so he can meet him. And the oldest son was like, this is... I don't know how I can do this because they have such a strong bond that I'm afraid that if something happens to Benjamin, it'll kill my father. So that's an example of a good soul tie. And then, of course, you know, David and Jonathan. They loved each other. They were knit together. And so much so that after Jonathan died, David went out and sought out any of his heirs to care for. Because not only was his soul knit to Jonathan, it was knit to Jonathan's descendants. And that's how we feel with Pastor Jim and Elizabeth, that our children are their children are our children, because of our soul ties that we have together. I mean, one summer, we had Chad and James when they were 12, 13, somewhere in there. We had a mowing business at the time, so I was home a lot, and I had a pool. So either James was at our house, or Chad was at their house. They were never separate that entire summer. And they swim a lot. And one time at the end of the summer, Elizabeth called me, and their hair was so stiff from the chlorine in the pool and bleached out. And she called me, and she said, have they had any baths at your house? And I said, no, I thought they were bathing in your house. But they had the pool. So they had gone all summer without a bath. And we're like, uh-oh. So she's like, all right, Megan, I'll have a bath before I send them back to you. But so we had an extra son that entire summer, and they had an extra son. And it's been that way ever since. Their children are our children, and our children are their children. So godly soul ties serve important purposes in our life. They strengthen our marriages. They deepen our friendships. They facilitate mentorship. I have a very strong soul tie with Pastor. You have a very strong soul tie with Pastor Jack and Patty. They're our mentors. We have good soul ties. They foster unity within the church. So I have some people in our body that I have very strong soul ties with, and that fosters unity. So soul ties are, when you hear the word soul tie, it's not always bad. There are a lot of good that comes out of having soul ties. You know, you can't be an island, so you should have a soul tie with your spouse. You should have soul ties with your children. You should have soul ties with your people that you go to church with and your pastor.
Yes.
Because you can't live as an island.
Right.
You may try, but you just can't do it. You need help. We all need help at times.
Yeah.
We all need prayer. We all need that text, that lifting up.
Mm-hmm.
We all need that, you got this, or I'm bringing you a cake. I never turned that down. No one has done that yet. Actually, no one has done that yet. Why has not someone brought me a cake?
Yeah.
Put that out there. Actually, she has brought me cake. Yes, she makes that chocolate cake.
But she didn't bring you one.
No, she brings it to me all the time. But other people, I'm just throwing it out there. I never turn down cake, as you can probably tell. All right, so now we're going to talk about ungodly soul ties. Where there is God's design, there is often Satan's perversion. So remember, good soul ties are formed when they align with God's design and purpose. Bad soul ties occur when we get out from under God's purpose and design for our life. Thank you. Yeah. So God's design and purpose for our life, when we get out from under that, where there's sin, then you have bad soul ties that can form.
Yes.
They can form at your doing, or they can form from something that's been done to you. So there's two different ways. So ungodly soul ties are spiritual connection that form outside of God's intended purposes. These ties can be damaging, creating unhealthy attachments and spiritual bondage. Ungodly soul ties often form through sexual relationships outside of marriage, abusive relationships, unhealthy emotional dependencies, and practicing the occult can all cause ungodly soul ties. An ungodly soul tie is an unhealthy spiritual and emotional connection between people that forms outside of God's divine plan, often through relationships that violate spiritual boundaries, like sexual relationships outside of marriage, abuse, codependency. These ties can lead to spiritual control, emotional bondage, destructive thought patterns, a loss of identity, manifesting as unhealthy attachments and obsessions, or an inability to move on from the past. In context of Christianity, such ties are seen as perversions of God's design for connection, and it can impede spiritual growth and freedom. So this is where this is a very personal subject. It's a very personal subject. It's a very hard subject. It's not one I would ever teach to children, but this is a very personal subject. When you see people online or out there and they're dressed like a woman and they're a man, I don't know what the first thing comes to your mind is, but it should be that's demonic.
Yes.
And you should also know that there are soul ties there that were created to this child without their permission. And so when sexual abuse happens to a child, it creates a perverted soul tie. And I often used to wonder, this is touchy, but we're all adults. I often used to wonder why certain people would end up choosing a certain lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And then I would realize why it happened to them. They were exposed to it. You know, Satan leaves behind, with sexual perversions, he always leaves behind a seducing sexual spirit. Mm-hmm. It stays behind.
Yes.
To draw you in to more of the same. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to get you to develop and become more involved in all of those things. And so it leads people, and they think, this is who I'm supposed to be. Or you've heard them say, I can't get away from it. I can't change. Mm-hmm. It's the same way with addictions.
Yeah. Yeah.
When people get addicted, there's an addictive spirit that stays behind. And they say, I've really tried. I've really tried to break it. I've really tried to stop, but I keep going back to alcohol. I keep going back. It's because there is a seducing spirit seducing them back to that addiction. Mm-hmm. And that is the soul tie or the bondage that occurs. And you can be a Christian and you can have a soul tie on you from something that has happened to you in your life. So if you've been in an abusive relationship and you manage to get out, but if you don't break the soul tie, you're more likely to go right back in. How many times have you seen that?
Yeah.
They'll go right back in to another person who's just or more abusive than the first one.
Yeah.
And you think, why? And then you look at their parents and you realize their dad was abusive to the mom. then they get into a relationship with a man and he's abusive, and then they just, it just continues. It's a cycle because there is a seducing demonic spirit attached to the generation and to the persons.
Yes.
And but good news is we can get rid of them.
Yes.
They don't have to stay.
Right.
So you can even have you ever heard about someone who saw like a trauma, they were involved in a trauma where they saw something really horrible happen to someone and they can never get over it?
Yes.
They can't break free from that trauma that they experienced or saw someone else go through.
Mm-hmm.
That's a soul tie. Children who are adopted have an abandonment soul tie.
Yeah.
Because they were not able to actually build that proper connection that God designed with their parents. People who are adopted or abandoned, children, babies, often will also have a rejection spirit on them. I read a story about this one pastor. He had four kids and he adopted a child. His four kids were so good. They did really well. They did really well. But the one he adopted was into everything. And he said, no matter what I did, I couldn't seem to get this child, even though we loved her, we treated her well, we didn't treat her any different than the others. Why was she climbing out the window at 13? Why was she doing drugs? Why was she doing all this? And then he got a revelation because of all the soul ties that were attached to her that were pulling her to go back to that, to go back to the lifestyle she came out of as a child. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
No, it
yes.
Does.
Okay. My glasses is on so I can read. As we dive into the process, so we can break soul ties. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:16 through 17, do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him. You know, the Bible was really strong, wasn't it? About going into a prostitute's house and bringing death on you. You read through Proverbs.
Yes.
It talks about it over and over.
Yeah.
Because God knew that there were going to be seducing sexual soul ties that were going to attach to that man.
Yeah.
And he or the woman. And they were going to leave, and it was just going to happen over and over and over. So he knew. So many, the other day I was thinking about all the rules he had in the Bible, all the washing of your hands, and you can't stay near a dead body. And if you read through some of that, you know, it's like this big long list. And it was for health reasons. It was to protect their bodies. It was to protect them physically. Don't drink the water, drink the wine. You know, wine's good for your stomach because the water's full of sewage, pesticides, and all, not pesticides, parasites. And then it's got all that stuff in it. So I used to think, gosh, God had some weird rules back then. Not if you were by a dead body, you had to be 7 days outside with the other rest of the camp. Well, he knew that's because they probably had a disease or a sickness that could spread, and he was quarantining them. You know, so you look through there and you start to realize, if you look at it, it was for their health, you know, to protect them.
Yeah.
And I just think, well, that's just silly. But then they didn't know then, did they, what we know now about germs and all that. But he did. So, let's go see, make sure. So if some of the things that we do to bring on soul ties, we can make vows and agreements with words, and we can create soul ties by making word covenants. And this has really been a wake-up call for me. Words have power, we know that. And when we say certain words or make certain vows, we come into agreement with those words, and a lot of times they go against God's will. We can inadvertently create an ungodly soul tie. We can say things like, well, I wish I would die. We just made a word covenant. Mm-hmm. Or we can speak to our child, you're never going to grow up to amount to anything. We just made a word covenant. Then they do that, and then they say later on, I knew they were going to not grow up to amount to anything. It's because he's spoken over them all those times.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The child began to believe.
That's right.
They were never going to amount to anything. Mm-hmm. But we can make word covenants that can cause soul ties in our life, which is some of the negative things that we say. And I mean, I'm really trying to do better, but I caught myself a minute ago. We were getting in the car, and I said something. I was like, no, that's not your, you know, I mean, just having to break that speech pattern. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when we're really frustrated and we're really going through hard times, we're more likely to get frustrated and let our mouth flap and say some things we never should have said, and then we have to repent for those. But we want to repent quickly because we don't want to allow those to take hold, right? And then there are other times that soul ties are created from generational things. You know, the sins of our fathers. It says the sins of the fathers are passed down to the children, and they're passed down through generational curses, word covenants, and soul ties. But we don't have to live out and repeat our parents' lives.
Amen.
We can break those soul ties off.
Yes. Yeah.
We don't have to, you know, I'm reading a book now on going into the throne room of heaven. And in here he talks about breaking off generational curses and how you can go into the throne room and say a prayer and ask God to break those generational curses off of your life so you don't keep passing them down.
Right. Amen.
A lot of times I think we wonder, we can't get anywhere in life. We feel like we just can't get anywhere. It's because there's been an open door to Satan to come in and cause stumbling blocks. Mm-hmm. You know, Satan's a legalist. This is something I've been studying a lot. He is a legalist. Mm-hmm. He knows the only way he can get to you is if you open the door. He knows the Bible better than we do. He knows every pattern in the Bible. He tries to repeat them. He knows that he can't get to us because of the blood of Jesus unless we open the door. And we open the door with our words, with our actions.
Yes.
With soul ties that we allow to be formed in our life. We open the door. We open it with fear. He knows he can't get to us unless we come out and say something stupid and say something in fear. Mm-hmm. And there's an open door. Yeah. But you have to remember, Satan's a legalist. So when we break a divine, we come under, we're not under God's divine plan, and we step outside of his plan, then Satan has access to us.
Yeah. Right.
It's the only way he can get there.
Right.
Because when Jesus died on the cross, God put a hedge of protection around us. We belong to him.
Yes.
But it's our choices, and it's the things we say and do, that open the door to Satan. And that's really, boy, I've been reading through this book, and he's got all these prayers. Pray, ask God to forgive you if your father or mother was promiscuous. Then you got to pray, ask for repentance for that, and break that off your life. Because that is a generational curse that can pass down to you. And so I'm just going through this book on, like, every day, I'm like, in Jesus' name, like, well, there's another one, there's another one. And I'm thinking, if I wasn't learning these things, how I could get stuck.
Yes.
You know, and just stay where we are and just don't move on. Right. Colossians 2:14 tells us that Christ has canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. This is the verse that reminds us, through Christ, we have power to break free from spiritual bondages, including ungodly soul ties, because of what he did on the cross.
Yes. Amen.
He gave us the authority and the power to break those. So there are several different ways. I don't know how long I've been going, but how to break ungodly soul ties.
28 minutes.
Huh?
28.
Oh, wow. So we want to break these ungodly soul ties, don't we?
Yes.
We don't want them. We don't want them in our life. We don't want them hanging around, because when they hang around, They can cause us to not feel worthy. They can cause us to feel insecure. Because if something happened to me as a child, I realized my insecurities, I may come across real confident, I battled with a lot of insecurities is because of what happened to me. And I can go back and look at the things I did in college and the things I did in high school, and I can tie them right back to those events that occurred to me with my father. And I realize that's why, like, I'm always apologizing to Kevin. He's like, why are you apologizing for? What have you done? That's that insecurity because of that soul tie. And I have to break that thing off, and then I have to remember, hey, I broke that thing off. It can't make me feel insecure anymore. Amen. So soul ties can make you feel stuck. You can feel stuck in your spiritual realm. You may feel like you can't get through a certain area. It can make you feel insecure. It'll hinder your gifts. It'll hinder your confidence. It'll keep you from moving forward. It'll make you feel guilty. You can feel oppressed. You can feel ashamed. And none of those things belong to you anymore.
Right.
Because you can break those things off and they're gone. So let's talk about how to break ungodly soul ties. Yes. Now that we understand what soul ties are and how they form, let's discuss the process of breaking them. Well, it's a spiritual battle. And we must approach it with the full armor of God. So here is a step-by-step. Now, as you're sitting here, and I've had several people say this to me, as you're sitting here, if the Holy Spirit is stirring up in you some soul ties or some things that are kind of quickening, then you want to remember those. In a minute, we're going to break them off. But this is not something you have to have me pray for you for. You can do this yourself. I had a lady from our church come to me, and she said, she was talking to me, and she said, I remember as a child that when my mom would get drunk, that my family would leave me at home with her and tell me to watch her when I was four.
Wow. Oh my God.
And she said, and I would be responsible keeping for my mother from not drinking anymore.
Oh.
4 years old.
4 years old. What that did to her is it made her become an over-nurturing, feeling responsible for everybody, to where she couldn't, you know, if something went wrong with anybody in the family, it was her fault because she should have corrected it, she should have caught it, she should have been watching out for her. And she carried that all the time, trying to fix everybody's problem in the family, because as a four-year-old, she was responsible for her mother not drinking. So then when the family would come back and her mother was drinking, they would say, we told you not to let her drink. Four.
Wow.
She was a baby.
Yeah.
But that stuck with her. And as she's telling me the story, I said, okay, stop. That's a soul tie. Mm-hmm. You have a soul tie.
Yeah. Yes.
Because of what happened to you.
That's right.
And you feel responsible for everybody in the world, and you bear it. You carry all their burdens. You can't fix everything. You can't fix everybody. It's not your job.
Right.
And it should have never have been your job back then.
Amen.
So soul ties can be other than sexual or addiction, or drugs, or lying. It can be things as simple, not really simple, but it's things like that that form and change our personalities.
So, yeah.
You know, the devil's out to make you an ineffective Christian.
Yes.
He wants you to be unable to speak the word with confidence. He wants you to not feel strong in your prayer. He wants you to feel like you have no authority. And anything that he can attach to you or put on you or convince you of to keep you handicapped in your Christian authority, he will do. Because he hates you. He hates us. If he could have killed us at birth, he would have. But he couldn't. But he knows that when your feet hit the ground in the morning and you're praying and you're standing on the word, you're storming the gates of hell.
Yes.
So if he can get you to get up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm not worthy of praying today because when I was 16, I got out, got high, got in a car wreck. hurt somebody. That's the past. That whole attachment there needs to, we've got to get rid of it.
Yes.
So that you get up in the morning and you put your feet on the ground and you say, coming after you. You know, long struggles in our life, going through divorces, going through bad breakups, actually going through a hard, long season where you feel like things are not changing, can begin to create a soul tie and alter who you are spiritually in the realm of authority. And so sometimes these battles that linger and linger and linger and linger, and we feel like, that's why people, when a lot of times when they have cancer, they just finally give up.
Yeah.
It's because they just begin to feel like they can't ever get there. So if you've been going through something that's been lasting a long time, and you're beginning to feel weary and tired, and you just want it over, but you don't know how to make it over, and you just want to run away, then you need to have a soul tie broke off. Because that's not God's plan for you. He wants you to live in victory.
Amen.
And there are times we go through long extended seasons in our life that are not fun.
Amen.
And that's when your body.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Many times I've asked John to pray for our business. Because I knew when her feet hit the ground in the morning, the devil said,
oh.
Yes. Hey, she's up. Right? She's up. Okay, so let's talk about how to break soul ties. First thing you have to do when you're breaking a soul tie. It says in First John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The first step to break a soul tie is to confess the sin or the situation that led to the soul tie. Example, God, I confess that I had sex outside of marriage. Or Lord, I acknowledge that I formed an unhealthy emotional dependency on this person. And you confess your sin over that. Of course, we know he forgives us, right?
Yes.
Then it says in Acts 3:19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repentance goes beyond confession. It involves a genuine heart change and a commitment to turn away from the sin or situation. This means making a firm decision not to repeat the behavior that led to the ungodly soul tie.
Yes.
Did you know you can watch these horror movies and form ungodly soul ties from them?
Mm-hmm. That's why you don't watch it.
Why do you think he puts those out there? When you're sitting there watching these movies about demons, Jason, all that stuff, and how scary they are, it's to convince you that Satan is bigger and badder than God.
Yeah.
Because these people are running and screaming and can't get away from them and they get killed and, you know, demons, their bodies are twisted. And, Carrie scared me to death as a child. I'll never forget it. And I went and saw Amityville Horror in college. Went back to my room. I couldn't sleep. Amityville Horror. I don't know if y'all ever saw that. Don't go watch it. It's horrible. Those movies are designed to go into your ear gate and your eye gate and implant into you this thought that Satan could do this to you. Evil could do this to you.
Yeah.
Because it's happening on that TV screen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know that in the movie where the little girl's watching the TV and your TV goes...
Poltergeist.
Do you know in that movie everyone died a tragic death except the little girl?
Yes, they did.
Every single one of them.
She died in real life.
She did recently.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking then another girl, because another girl died at the age of 12 after being in...
So the little girl, was that, I can't think of who played that.
That was Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore. She's the only one. All the other people in that movie over the next, like, 10 years died in a tragic event. Murdered, car wreck. Because that poltergeist got in them.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to know that there's demons behind that writing that stuff.
Yes.
And how else can they come up with it if it's not a demon writing it?
Yes.
Demons are writing those stories.
Yeah.
You know, Stephen King says that when he wants to write a book, he gets stoned on pot, and then something comes to him and tells him the stories. Well, we know what that something is.
Right, right.
Don't read Pet Cemetery. That's another one I read in college. My goodness gracious. I was scared for weeks. It really affected my psyche, if you know what I mean. My peace.
Yeah.
Stole my peace. I couldn't shake it.
Yeah. And it leaves an image.
It leaves an image in your head, yes.
Yeah.
So don't let your kids do it. And don't do it. Don't take them to the movies to watch that stuff. Don't watch that stuff.
Yeah.
Just leave it alone. It's not good for you. Okay. So then after you repent, then you have to renounce. This is where the rubber meets the road in breaking an ungodly soul tie. Renouncing means it involves verbally declaring your freedom from the ungodly connection. Remember, there is power in our words as believers. So you've got to say, for example, in the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce and break all ungodly soul ties formed with me, whoever the person might be, or whatever the situation might be. I declare these ties severed and nullified by the blood of Jesus. I release, if it was a person who did it to you, I release them to God and declare myself free from any ungodly influence or connection. The fourth thing you have to do, forgiveness, is a crucial part of the process, both for yourself and for the person involved in the soul tie. This doesn't mean excusing harmful behavior, but rather releasing the person to God and choosing not to hold on to bitterness or resentment.
Yes.
Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So you have to confess it, repent from it, renounce it, and forgive yourself and them. Then the fifth step is we got to reclaim spiritual territory. After breaking the ungodly soul tie, it is important to reclaim that area of your life for God. This might be involving dedicating yourself sexually to God, committed to seek healthy relationships, inviting the Holy Spirit to come in and heal emotional wounds. You could pray something like this. Heavenly Father, I invite you into every area of my life that was affected by this ungodly soul tie. Please heal my heart, renew my mind, restore my spirit. I dedicate this part of my life to you and ask for your guidance in forming healthy, godly connections moving forward. I know that's a lot, isn't it? As a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been given authority to address these issues in your own life through prayer and the application of God's word.
Yes.
And you all know the story about the slave girl, right? That was following Acts 16:16-18. As we were on our way to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit of divination. She could foretell future events and discover hidden knowledge, and she brought her owners much gain by her fortune-telling. She kept following Paul and shouting loudly, these men are the servants of the Most High God.
Yeah.
They announced to you the way of salvation. And she did this for many days. But then Paul, being sorely annoyed and worn out, turned and said to her spirit within her, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Mm-hmm. And it came out that very moment. So you can have, like that one, she had a spirit of divination. You know there's over 1,000 different evil spirits? Over 1,000. There's the obvious ones. Spirit of addiction, spirit of abandonment, spirit of rejection, spirit of chaos. Spirit of grief. Spirit of sexual perversion. Spirit of lying. There's all kinds of spirits. And they're all evil spirits. I've been watching Keith Moore, and I love how he says this. Man, he's so good. He just breaks it down. And if you've not been doing what you're supposed to do, you'll feel like a little puddle on the floor and you'll have to crawl somewhere. He got me so bad a couple weeks ago. I was like, I mean, I had a vision of myself out in this field wandering around lost. And I knew I was off the path that I needed to be on to believe for my business. And so I was like, I don't know what to do. And I sent Monica a text and I said, I need help. And she said, God says, listen. I said, I'm trying to listen. I can't carry. Because I was so frustrated.
Yeah.
And so I said, I was just going to turn on Keith Moore. So I turned on Keith Moore and he had his two-part series called Why It's Not Working. Well, that's appropriate because obviously it's not working. God showed me in a field of briars and burrs and wandering around. And right over beside it was this beautiful, paved, black, smooth highway. Yeah. And I'm over here like... Mm-hmm. Crying, whining, complaining, you know, doing all the things I know not to do. And so I turned that on, and he began to teach on why it wasn't working. I sat on my couch at the showroom, and when I got done, I was squirming. I was so uncomfortable at the end of it because he just broke it down. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm mad at you because it's not working, and it was me the whole time. And, I mean, he really dissected it and put it out there. But he has this awesome saying, and I'm taking the saying in every day, multiple times a day. He says, evil spirits, I command you to stop in all your operations, cease in all your maneuvers. I forbid it. I bind you in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm like, I like that.
Yes. Amen.
And he said, sometimes when I do that, I hear the demons stop their foot and run off because they had a plan, and I just stopped it.
Uh-huh.
So I do that a lot, and I'll put in there, evil spirits, I command you to cease. I command you to stop all your operations, cease in all your maneuvers over Kevin's carpets, over Race Fellowship, over the Holler and family, over our homes, over our cars. I forbid it.
Yes.
I bind you in the name of Jesus. Because the word in the Bible that says... bind can also be forbid.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying that a lot, trying to say it every day, so that, you know, because I know Satan's got all kinds of agendas.
Yes.
You can just see me in his little room with what plan he got today. Let's try this plan. Let's try that plan. You know, and they work sometimes. I hate to say it, but it does a lot of us. The other thing that I've been doing a lot recently, and I hope this helps you, is he also taught on, and Pastor Jim did too, speaking on a bless you, Lord. And it's interesting. Did you read that this morning? I bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I had a mini message teaching on that for Wednesday night and didn't get picked. And I've got to where when things get real tough, I get more frustrated. Fear rises up in me. I get scared. I feel it coming on. That I'll just walk through the store or walk around the house and say, I bless you.
Mm-hmm.
I bless you.
Yes.
Because that can't stay.
That's right.
I bless you, Lord. And I'd had a really rough day. I came home, and honestly, I was getting ready to have a full-blown anxiety attack. My stomach hurt. My head hurt. I felt like I was going to throw up. I'm going to go lay down. Fear had come on me. And I knew it was a satanic attack of fear.
Yes.
You know, that it wasn't just me feeling scared. It was a boom, I'm going to attack you with fear. And I went and laid down in my bed. And I'm sitting there shaking. And I said, I bless you, Lord. As soon as it came out of my mouth, the shaking stopped and it all lifted.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just kept saying it. And I got up because I told Kevin I'm going to bed because I have a headache. I got up and I came out and I said, I don't have to sleep anymore.
Yeah.
I don't have a headache anymore. And I was just not really telling him what was going on. You know, don't worry. But it's blessed me to be able to just say, I bless you, Lord. Because when you start saying, I bless you, Lord, all that junk can't stay.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read through all the blessings he's done, he's forgiven us from our iniquities. He's you know, I was going to teach on that whole chapter because how amazing that is. Just those words, I bless you, Lord. I bless you. Changes the atmosphere.
Praise.
Fear can't stay. Sickness can't stay. Lack can't stay. Because now your eyes are really truly looking up to the heavens where your help comes from. And it's, I bless you. And I'm telling you, it's just, sometimes I think we make believing in faith too hard. And I think sometimes we just stop and say, I bless you. We're in traffic, we have some road rage. I bless you, Lord. You'll settle right down. Bless you, Lord. I said, I'm going to run over this person. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I bless you. No, but as soon as I say it, I mean, I can feel it change. So it's just something that I've learned to do recently. Okay, so we've sat here and we've taught on soul ties. And you guys have been very attentive and you've listened. So now my question is this. Is there things that you want broken off that has become a bondage to you that you didn't even realize you had? But God has, Holy Spirit has stirred up in you and showed you some things. And if you want to be free from them, we'll break them off. So if that's where you are, you feel that way, or you just want prayer, I'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. I might have someone else pray for you. We all have authority. Right? Kevin's got it. I don't know that. Got any carotid arteries that he's spoken to?
Yeah.
Diana, you want to go ahead and give us a prayer out so I can stop the recording?
Sure.
Pray us out.
All right. Father, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful group of people. Lord, I know in Jesus' name that they are powerhouses. That they are, when I see them in the spirit, I see pillars. I know that they are powerhouses for you, Father. I know that they stand on the word every day. Lord, I thank you for helping them today, for ministering to them today, Lord. I ask you to bless them and keep them for this week, to take care of them, to guard them wherever they go, Father. I thank you for your covering over their life and your anointing on them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.